This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It's a big day here on Football Full Circle. That is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, a big day around the NFL because mandatory minicamp really starting today in every spot around the National Football League. Deeper into the offseason programs for these NFL clubs we go. Of course, in large part, for most of the past few weeks, we have seen OTAs, but those are voluntary. If you skip out on mandatory minicamp, you can be subject to fines and financial penalties. So it's not so much who is there, but who might be absent in the significance for that player and that NFL franchise. It's what we'll discuss here in large part with a focus on the AFC North first and foremost on this Tuesday on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, and a couple of notables that you mentioned. Terry McLaurin for Washington, not in camp. And then you talk about Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith for the Miami Dolphins, two potentially key players for the offense and defense for the Miami Dolphins, no longer there. And then all eyes on Trey Hendrickson as well. What happens with all three of those players? That will they be with their respective clubs in 2025 for week number one, or will they be on another team to potentially, you know, make a run at an AFC or NFC championship? Those are the storylines that we'll see play out over the next few weeks. How do teams address these star players that could potentially be a disruption to the locker room, Ben? This is something that for both the Dolphins and obviously the Bengals, they need to get ahead of before the start of the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of Miami, was asked how he feels that Jalen Ramsey is not there and that Ramsey has not been dealt just yet this offseason. He basically said, I don't give a S-H-I-T about how I feel. I'm not sure if we can say that here on the friendly, on the family-friendly program that is Football Full Circle. So that goes to sum up how things are for the Finns at this current moment. But the big news, Joe, over the last 24 hours has been in Cincinnati. Yesterday, the Bengals releasing Jermaine Pratt, who was one of their defensive captains and the team's leading tackler last season, 143 total tackles to guide Cincinnati in what was a defense that ranked bottom 10 in both scoring and total defense. That's points and yards allowed in 2024. So, Joe, it's a fascinating move, if you ask me, for Cincinnati to release Jermaine Pratt when he was one of the bright spots of an abysmal defense a year ago. Pratt was hoping for a new deal. He has spent all six seasons of his NFL career in Cincinnati after being a third-round pick out of NC State back in 2019. And despite recording at least 118 tackles in the last 2 years and a buck 43 last year, that's top 10 around the NFL, the Bengals cut weight. They cut Jermaine Pratt, which I found very interesting yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, so it's almost like the Steelers. They're stuck in neutral when they had both George Pickens and DK Metcalf, and they didn't have a quarterback. Then they have a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, but they get one of their main weapons in George Pickens and deal him to Dallas. Same thing with the Cincinnati Bengals. The hope was to potentially keep Pratt and maybe lure Hendrickson with a long-term deal, and now you have two of the top players on your defensive unit that you could potentially build upon. But now with Pratt gone, let's say they do sign Hendrickson, is their defense all that much better? You lose the leading tackler. This is supposed to be a defense that has to elevate to potentially allow Joe Burrow and that offense to cook. So again, it doesn't help them if they just get Hendrickson and it's a bunch of nobodies around them. I mean, he could put up numbers, but that defense will still give up 30-plus points per game, and they'll have to outscore teams the way they did last year. So again, we have to see the mindset, the vision for Cincinnati moving forward, but not a good look with Jermaine Pratt not on the Bengals in 2025.
Not at all, Joe. Again, 6 years in Cincinnati, was hoping for a new deal with the Bengals, much like Trey Hendrickson. Of course, maybe did not make the headlines that Hendrickson requesting a trade did earlier in the offseason, but he asked to be traded from Cincy as well. I guess they did not find a trade partner, leading to his release. So now we go from Jermaine Pratt, one of the staples of this Bengals defense in their successful runs under Joe Burrow on that side of the football, to Trey Hendrickson indeed, who is not showing up to mandatory minicamp for Cincinnati. No surprise there, Joe, but with his representation and the Bengals front office still at an impasse with zero progress on a potential contract extension, Trey Hendrickson is skipping out on mandatory minicamp for Cincinnati.
Yeah, you try to force your hand, right? If you're Hendrickson, you know that you're the best player on that defense. You led the NFL in sacks with 17 and a half, and you want a long-term deal the way T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase got their money. Now, it's going to be a lot harder to make that type of argument, even though you put up the statistics. He didn't elevate that defense, you know, past middle of the road. They were dead last in a bunch of categories. So again, we'll see what the mindset of Cincinnati is the longer that this plays out. Again, it weighs on the locker room. You know, Joe Burrow likes to have everything in place from an offensive perspective. You want the continuity there from leadership on the defensive side. And if you don't have Trey Hendrickson bought in, that defense now again is in disarray, even with the new defensive coordinator. So again, we'll see how long they allow this to play out, but hopefully they wrap this up sooner rather than later. Otherwise, again, they have question marks entering the 2025 campaign, and this is a team that's battling for an AFC championship.
There's no doubt about it, Joe. It's been the conversation we have had around the Bengals the entirety of this offseason and largely last summer as well. Again, you pay Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. You make Chase the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, having to match and then set the records of Justin Jefferson and Myles Garrett and Max Crosby. So you have to outspend. Sure, you made Ja'Marr Chase and probably Joe Burrow very happy, but you didn't leave a lot left for anybody else. T. Higgins becomes the highest paid secondary wide receiver in NFL history. Congrats. Your wideouts are taken care of, but nobody on a defense that allowed 25.5 points per game a season ago, seventh worst in the National Football League, nearly 350 yards per game, eighth worst in the NFL, and the guy who probably is most deserving outside of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is Trey Hendrickson. And that deal is not in place. Had you had the foresight to pay Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins last offseason, two off seasons ago, you free up that financial flexibility to be able to spend to be a true conference and championship contender, which is what the Bengals seemingly are attempting to be, Joe, but not really inspiring the confidence that they are. And it's not just Trey Hendrickson who is missing mandatory minicamp. 17th pick, first round for the Bengals, 17th overall. Shamar Stewart has not agreed to his rookie deal, as he and his representation still battling with Cincinnati about some guaranteed wording in that contract. It should be standardized, and it is not. So Trey Hendrickson is not at minicamp, and Shamar Stewart is watching and not participating. Joe, these are not the positive vibes, especially on that defensive side of the ball that you want for the Bengals entering 2025.
No, and again, we talk about them with slow starts, right? They're 5.5-point week one favorites over Cleveland. This is a team that they should beat week number one and at least get out of the gate a lot better than they have over the past three or four seasons. But again, in order for them to make a legitimate AFC championship run, they need that defense not to be elite. We talked about it throughout the week, Ben. They right. need to be at least middle of the pack. They just cannot be from 25 to 32 and expect to challenge for an AFC championship. Not going to happen.
It's a great point, Joe, right? They were seventh worst in terms of scoring. They were eighth worst in terms of total yardage allowed defensively last year, and they still went 9-8. If they were middle of the pack this year under new DC Al Golden, maybe they would be a conference contender. What's the best bet around the Bengals? Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, we have bemoaned the Bengals offseason, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, for the past couple of months. It is coming to a head once again on this Tuesday as mandatory minicamp has begun in Cincinnati. And Trey Hendrickson, the NFL sack leader a year ago, was 17 and a half of those bad boys, finishing runner-up in defensive player of the year voting. And their 17th overall pick in round number one, Shamar Stewart, who has not signed his rookie deal, are not at minicamp / not participating. And yet, Joe, we still have this idea that Cincinnati should be a double-digit win team in 2025. And led by that dynamic offense, should and could contend for a playoff spot. Here are the odds on the Bengals. 9.5 the win total in Cincy. The over has the considerable juice at -135. The Bengals favored at a -176 price to reach the playoffs. 2-1 number to win the AFC North. Second best price behind Baltimore. 9-1 price to win the AFC. Fourth best number behind the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs, and a 19-1 price to win Super Bowl 60? Lisa Guy, let me start with this question, and then I'll ask a follow-up depending on your answer. Would you bet any of those numbers on the Bengals for 2025?
Well, I mean, I would bet make the playoffs and minus 178. I wouldn't bet it straight. I would put it in a parlay with a couple other teams, and you could do that on FanDuel. I think that's a worthy, you know, bet to make, especially knowing the mindset and the bullseye on Cincinnati's back. It's do or die this season, right? The other bet I would make would be over the 9.5 at minus 135, right? I know it's minus money, and it seems like the books expect that. But again, you talk about the slow starts over the past few seasons, 0-2, 0-3 last year, couldn't get out of their own way, and they still manage a 9-8 overall record. I got to believe that this team comes in at least in the first half of the year, focused, right? Barring any major injury, I think they could get to 10 wins, and that's still battling the two best teams potentially, you know, in the AFC, and talking about Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore, and knowing that they have to face the Ravens twice in the regular season, I still think they could be an 11-win football team. So for me, it's to make the playoffs at minus 178. I would even take a shot on over the 11.5 at plus 220.
Yeah, listen, Joe, I kind of agree with you, right? I do believe the Bengals will be a 10-win football team in 2025. I believe Cincinnati will make the postseason. And thus, if both Joe and I believe the Bengals are at least a 10-win football team making the playoffs, they're in position to be in position. Does it make sense to bet Cincinnati to win the AFC Championship as well at a 9-1 number, right? That's $5 longer than where Kansas City is right now. Buffalo, the favorites at plus 360. They're a dime in front of the Ravens at plus 370. The flock, 30 cents in front of the Chiefs. And the thing that I have taken umbrage with, Joe, and that has always stood out to me based on the offseason pricing right now, you want to pick Buffalo and or Baltimore to win the AFC? Go right ahead. The fact they are priced in front of Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, that is what grinds my gears. Why? Because Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have failed in the most significant of stages to beat Kansas City and to win the big game. The only quarterback in the AFC actively that has gotten past Patrick Mahomes in his 7 years as the starter in KC, that's Joe Burrow. So if you want a quarterback, at least with the track record and the pedigree to do so, Joe, it's on the Bengals. Now, I don't feel as though the Bengals are a true conference contender because of my questions about the defense. Is the defense bad enough to hold them back from a playoff spot? Maybe not. Could the defense be bad enough to hold Cincy back from an AFC championship game? That's what I would say.
Yeah, and think about the years that they challenged Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow had the 3-0 record, right? Their defense was much better than where it was last year. They were absolutely atrocious. And again, you look at the two games that they lost to Baltimore, the overtime game, right? They scored 30-plus points, and their defense can't stop Lamar Jackson. In the game on Monday night or Thursday night where they had the two-point conversion, you can make the argument there should have been a flag on that play, but at the end of the day, they could not contain Derrick Henry and Lamar in that offensive attack. And until that changes, you've got to give the inside edge at Baltimore to potentially maybe win an AFC championship. Expecting them to be better, though, Baltimore than Kansas City, I'm with you. Until they knock off the Kings of the Hill, you can't put my money on Baltimore, Buffalo, right, or even Cincinnati at this point. But again, we're talking about where's the value. You're talking about a 9-1 shot in a quarterback that does have a 3-1 overall record on Pat Mahomes. That's pretty good. And knowing that if they at least get there, it's worthy of the 9-1 price.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. Again, if the Chiefs were plus 300 and the Ravens were 4-1 and the Bills were plus 450, go ahead and bet Baltimore and Buffalo. The fact the Bills and the Ravens are shorter than the Chiefs, again, that is my issue. And Lisa Guy, to your point about the Bengals not being able to afford another slow start, they have started at least 0-2 in each of their previous three seasons. Last year, 0-3, it was too much to overcome, especially with a poor defense. This year, on paper, they should be fine. Cincinnati starts as a 5.5-point favorite week number one against Cleveland. But then again, last year, the Bengals were the largest favorite of week number one as a 7-point favorite against the Patriots and lost that game outright at home. But the Bengals start against home games against the Browns, the Jags, road trips to Minnesota, and a Monday night game against the Denver Broncos. Joe, if they're not favored in all four of those games, even in the road tilts against the Vikes and the Broncos, it's not going to be more than a point and a half, 2 points, certainly not more than a field goal. The Bengals should be in a good spot, at least to start 3-1 in their opening month, we would think.
That would be the hope, right? They start 3-1 with Joe Burrow and that offense, have a very good shot, and that 9-1 is not going to be there then.
Good point. Very good point, Joe. We'll talk elsewhere around the AFC North. And another outstanding edge rusher, T.J. Watt, not at mandatory minicamp. How big of a deal is it? We'll discuss next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
I'm right here on Football Full Circle. It's FFC. Sure, it's a Tuesday in June, but we do have mandatory minicamps starting around the National Football League. If you do not show up, you are subject to financial penalties unless you have an excused absence. But Lisa Guy, if you're trying to renegotiate a new big contract, maybe some of those financial fines can be baked in to that large deal, which is the case not just for Trey Hendrickson, of course, in Cincinnati, but T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh. T.J. Watt not at minicamp for the Steelers right here, right now. The two guys, Joe, that have led the National Football League in sacks the previous two seasons. Hendrickson last year with 17 and a half, Watt in 2023 with 19 in total. Both not at mandatory minicamp for their respective clubs. Of course, both divisional foes in that AFC North. We see guy T.J. Watt wants a new deal. Are you at all concerned by the fact he is not at minicamp?
Yeah, I am. And again, I think if we talk about veterans being a part of the team in minicamp, you want T.J. Watt there because of what you have at the quarterback position. And I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers waltzing in and signing that one-year deal and knowing that there's potentially a disruption in the locker room when you have a guy that's so polarizing, good or bad, like Aaron Rodgers. He demands the media attention. It's going to be his way or no way, and that's something that, quite honestly, Steelers really haven't dealt with in a long, long time. You know, players have been bought in to the organization, they've been bought into their head coach, and we didn't see that with Aaron Rodgers. Now with T.J. Watt wanting a long-term deal, knowing that he's the heart and soul of the defense, maybe not statistically living up as he was over the past couple of seasons, but still an integral part of that defense and that unit, if he's checked out, That's a huge cause of concern for the team. Again, I would sign him knowing because Aaron Rodgers is in the building. I want T.J. Watt there to be the figurehead and the leader of that team. He is the face of the organization. Yeah. If Aaron Rodgers gets a hold of it, this team could go off the rails sooner rather than later.
I think it's a good point, right, Joe? Maybe not so that Aaron Rodgers now tries to instill his influence and take over as that guiding voice in the Steelers locker room, but of course he is now more than likely the starting quarterback. So of course that will be a very influential figure, but just if you're kind of starting this new tide, right? This new era of Steelers football, at least for 2025, you want everything positive, right? You want Watt there to show Aaron Rodgers around. You want T.J. Watt there have everybody actively involved in mandatory minicamp. Now, for me personally, Joe, when there is a player that is not happy with their contract situation and are hoping to agree on a new extension, and it's not a Trey Hendrickson situation, which earlier in the offseason that player demanded a trade, it doesn't really bother me when they sit out of mandatory minicamp. Why would TJ Watt be in there, bust his hump in practices if he wants to make sure he holds onto his leverage to get a new deal, right? Obviously, team first mentality, all of that good stuff, I completely understand. But Watt's been doing this for quite some time. It's not like if he is not there at this point in early June ahead of mandatory minicamp, it is that significant. Come late July in training camp, different story. Right here in June, not that big of a deal, but there are additional layers to this, especially with the big news that Pittsburgh has surrounded itself with last week. The addition of Aaron Rodgers, a sign of the times in the Steel City. You kind of just want all the vibes to be good and positive as you are trying to change the narrative around this Steelers franchise, which is that, hey, you're a winning football team, but you're not a contending football team.
Yeah, and if they're going to contend, right, you need that winning mentality and you need the continuity. And that's where I have concerns, because it's not just Aaron Rodgers. You bring in now a big play wide receiver in DK Metcalf that you could say wasn't happy in Seattle. He's been temperamental throughout his career. You ship Najee Harris to the Chargers. You bring in a rookie in terms of Caleb Johnson that's supposed to elevate the rushing attack. But again, these are still rookies and first-year players in Mike Tomlin's scheme, right? In Mike Tomlin's team. And that's the one thing that we talk about, the consistency of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're blue-collar. Players buy in. Maybe sometimes they're under the radar, but they get it done on the football field. That's not what we have now from a locker room perspective, and that's why I'm concerned.
Yeah, TJ Watt not there during the season. Of course, that's going to impact the Steelers. But part of the reason, Joe, Pittsburgh has been able to be a playoff team and a winning team the last 3 years, they've been a top 10 scoring defense each of the previous three seasons. More on FFC comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
And just to put it in perspective, the two big names that we have discussed, two of the best edge rushers and sack artists in the National Football League, Trey Hendrickson and TJ Watt. TJ Watt, by the way, last 2 years, 30 and a half sacks, second most in the last two seasons in the NFL. Trey Hendrickson, 35 total sacks in the last two seasons, the most of any player in the National Football League currently right now, Joe. TJ Watt, age of 31 years old, makes $28 million basically per season. That is seventh most in the National Football League. Myles Garrett, Danielle Hunter, Max Crosby, Nick Bosa. The four edge rushers slash defensive linemen that make north of $29 million per year, and everybody at $34-plus million of AAV. Trey Hendrickson, $21 million per season. It is why these guys are asking for those bigger deals. And Joe, those deals that we have seen, Garrett, Hunter, Crosby, Bosa, all signed in at least 2023 or later. Garrett, Hunter, Crosby, three highest paid edge rushers in the NFL, all at $35.5 million or more, based on that annual average value for that salary. Those have all been signed at a stage of this 2025 offseason. It is why TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson want to get paid, and it's frankly why they are deserving to see that contract increase.
Yeah, it's almost like when Daniel Jones got the $40 million, and then every better, you know, quarterback better and had better resume and stats than Daniel Jones wanted their money, and he set the bar for the quarterback position for the most part, right? And once he got 40, everybody was getting 40 and 50 and in upwards of almost $60 million like Dak Prescott. So, you know, that's what happens. And now when you see Max Crosby and you see Myles Garrett, dominant defensive edge rushers, you know, get their money. And then you're TJ Watt, and you know that you're potentially the best player on that defensive unit when healthy. You want your money. And if you're Hendrickson as well, even if you didn't have a dominant defensive unit, you led all of the NFL statistically in one of the main categories in terms of sacks. We talk about getting after the pass rusher and how much value that is worth in terms of compensation and dollar value. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
So again, teams have to make, that's why you're seeing teams, I think, too, get release players in certain positions, right? We or move on. We see it at the running back position. Look at Pittsburgh in particular, moving on from Najee Harris, a younger running back. They get Caleb Johnson in there, rookie deal. That's what happens. But a team that has Trey Hendrickson, whether it be Cincinnati or anyone else, if he does go to, let's say, Baltimore or Buffalo, they're immediately a contender because he's the cherry on top. With Cincinnati, he's the best player, but he's already been involved in that defense, and he's absorbed. You need the other, you know, 10 players to elevate you to the next level. And that's where I think each team has to make the assessment on the player. Are they worth it, or could we make it, you know, move on and still make the same type of productivity?
Of course, you're going to get a much cheaper option in Shamar Stewart, who the Bengals drafted 17th overall with their first round pick in late April. But then again, you probably need to finish out the contract and the wording and the legal language to make sure Shamar Stewart is participating during mandatory minicamp as well. That is why great drafting teams have success. It's why they can pay a ton of players on either side of the football. Because if you get high-performing rookies, even those that are first-round draft picks, you get them at a discount for the 3-4 years under their rookie deal before that first extension even comes up for debate. You have to capitalize on those windows, and you want to make sure those players learn the basics and the organization from the very start, which Shamar Stewart has not been able to do. Lisa Guy, you mentioned a couple of other players on the other side of the ball that are dealing with contract situations, some that are at mandatory minicamp, others that are not. Let's start in Washington. Terry McLaurin, after a career year for the Commanders, he has found that pairing with Jaden Daniels, should be incredibly excited moving forward to 2025, is not at mandatory minicamp. He is in the final year of his contract this upcoming season, and Terry McLaurin not going to report to mandatory minicamp in hopes of getting that new contract extension as well.
Yeah, again, quarterback to wide receiver relationship. You want Terry McLaurin there if you're Jaden Daniels. I mean, Terry McLaurin has dealt with a number of different quarterbacks, right? Almost a rotation each and every year with new offensive coordinators, and he breaks out with his best touchdown performance in terms of finding the end zone. Yeah. And if you're talking about a team that elevated to an NFC championship game, you want your wide receiver number one now. I think when you look at Terry McLaurin and you look at productivity, there's some that will say, you know what, Terry's not in the elite like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and in that regard. But now with competent quarterback player Jaden Daniels, he could be that type of player. So it's almost like, yeah, where do you see Terry McLaurin 2 or 3 years down the road from now? And I think if you're Dan Quinn, you get this done immediately. Again, we talk about wide receivers not being happy. He's the mainstay. He's been there with garbage quarterbacks over the past few seasons. Prior to Jaden Daniels, you have an identity now. Don't disrupt it, because the eye and the challenge is getting back to an NFC championship. Not going to be easy, and you want the locker room intact before the season starts.
Is Terry McLaurin as elite as Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase? Maybe not. Is he as consistent as you will find around the National Football League and a highly productive pop? No doubt about it, Joe. 6 years in the National Football League, again, with a rotating cast and crew at the quarterback position, an offensive play calling that was equally confounding. Terry McLaurin has had at least 919 receiving yards every single year. And in the previous five that he has not been a rookie, over the 1,000-yard receiving mark with at least 77 grabs in all five seasons. In last year, 82 grabs, 1,096 yards, 13 receiving touchdowns. The first year of his NFL career, he had double-digit receiving scores. The first year in his NFL career, he had more than seven receiving touchdowns. And like for many, it was a record-setting and historic year for McLaurin in Washington. You get this deal done. Terry, who has signed a second deal with Washington after his rookie deal came to a close back in 2022, is making right now, Joe, $23.2 million of AAV. There are 12 wide receivers around the National Football League that make $25 million or more per year. Terry McLaurin is certainly deserving of being in that ballpark and probably being one of the eight guys who makes $30 million or nine guys who makes $30 million per year as well. And all of those deals have happened as of late. A lot of it when it comes to your contract disputes and what you are asking for, just a matter of inflation, right? The increased salary cap and the increased payments that are given out. Terry McLaurin is deserving of that deal. Should see it very soon.
Yeah, and Terry McLaurin is a consummate professional. I mean, he's gone about his business. I mean, you never hear Terry McLaurin, you know, being checked out. I mean, when Washington was terrible and sub 500, Terry McLaurin was giving it his all each and every week. So you got to sort of reward that in terms of going through the growing pains with a losing organization with Daniel Snyder. And now Josh Harris and Dan Quinn have this team on the upswing. And part of that is you want players that buy into the organization and that represent your team in a positive way. And that's what Terry McLaurin does. And not only that, you want your starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels, to not have a sophomore jinx per se, like CJ Stroud, where there's some regression last year, right? And didn't elevate the way we thought he would in terms of year number two. You want to try and get Jaden Daniels past what he did last year. Terry McLaurin will help you do that. Sign him sooner rather than later. Again, he is the mainstay and a legit number one in the NFC.
No doubt about it, Joe. It should be an offseason for the Commanders to build on. I expect them to get that deal done very, very soon. Plenty more comes your way on Football Full Circle. All the news and notes around the NFL continues up next, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisi guy, we're talking mandatory minicamp. We're talking who is out there, who is available, who has showed up, and maybe who is not in attendance. We have talked about Terry McLaurin not being there. TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson, both not at mandatory minicamp for the Steelers and Bengals, respectively. One guy hoping to seek a new deal who is at mandatory minicamp, that's Bills running back James Cook. He is hoping for a contract extension in the resurgence of the running back position in the NFL, but he did report to mandatory minicamp this week in Buffalo.
Yeah, now, we have a bunch of Bills fans on the network, right? You know, behind the scenes and hosts and, Carver, Gabe, the list goes on and on. Sam Yarnell over there. And some of them are concerned. I think Carver's not. And I would be. If I'm Sean McDermott and I look at the offensive identity for Buffalo and you see what they were able to do when they were productive 2 years ago at the end of the regular season, when they went into the playoffs, and last year, even in the loss to Kansas City, James Cook was a mainstay of that offense, running the football, catching it out of the backfield. And again, if I have sights to knock off Lamar Jackson and to knock off Pat Mahomes, I need James Cook in that offense. And I know Ty Johnson is a very good change of pace and complimentary back along with Sweet Baby Ray Davis. But you cannot tell me that they are as good or as elite and explosive as James Cook. I just don't buy it. He is just like his brother Dalvin in terms of the early part of his career. They need him to make an AFC championship run. I don't know what they're doing. Again, it's running back by committee right now. If he's not there, that's not a good issue to have if you're Sean McDermott. I want James Cook in that backfield, happy, signed, and let's go for 2025. If he's checked out, this team could be in disarray.
Again, it's all about positional value, right? But we have seen the running back spot kind of make its way back, both in drafting and in offseason extensions. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, the list goes on and on. Is James Cook going to get those record-setting numbers? No. Should he get a big deal, maybe $12, $14, $15 million per year? I would say so. Lisa Guy, when you think about what James Cook has done in his last 2 years in Buffalo, he was a second-round pick in 2022. His last two seasons, he has been a Pro Bowl player. He is coming up on the final year under his rookie deal in 2025. Two seasons ago in 2023, 1,122 yards on the ground, 445 receiving yards, is a dynamic and complete threat out of the backfield. Last year, 1,009 rushing yards, 258 receiving yards, but the big difference for the Bills in terms of productivity in scoring, Joe, James Cook had 16 rushing touchdowns last year, only two the year prior in 2023. Those 16 rushing scores, good for first alongside Derrick Henry and Jahmyr Gibbs for the most in the National Football League. James Cook is deserving of a big deal and a contract extension entering the final year of his rookie deal in Buffalo. Again, he is there. He is present. He is reported to mandatory minicamp. To me, Joe, could be a good sign that this deal is going to be done rather quickly.
Yeah, you would hope, right? You just look at the game logs, that he played AFC Championship game, 85 yards on the ground, 49 on three receptions. And oh, by the way, the offensive staff didn't have him on the field on the last drive where they got stone cold. Why was that? Again, you look at the 100-yard performances. The game against Detroit, he rushes for 105 yards, 7.5 yards per carry. The guy is explosive. Again, not just in terms of running the football, but out in space in the passing attack. That's what you want to see to take the pressure off of Josh Allen. Granted, Ty Johnson, Ray Davis can pick up the slack for the most part, but when you have a home run hitter in that lineup, that changes the whole offensive identity. The offensive line buys in for the most part. They love blocking for a guy like that, and he's young. The guy's a winner at every level. I mean, you're talking about a national champion at Georgia. Sign the guy. I don't understand. We talk about main pieces. If you're Sean McDermott and you're a team that hasn't achieved what your full potential is, and you know your player, James Cook, is going to help you get there, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, and Joe, this is a Buffalo team that is hoping to get to a stage in 2025 and is expected from the odds perspective to realize just that they have not, of course, in quite some time. The Buffalo Bills have the highest win total around the National Football League. It's 11.5. The over has the considerable juice at minus 160. There is a thought that Buffalo is going to have the best record in the National Football League, which means they would be the one seed in the AFC playoff picture. They would host playoff games in Western New York. And the Buffalo Bills are the strongest favorite of any team to win any division around the NFL. The AFC East, in large part, has taken a step back. The Dolphins are seen to be, at best, a 500 team, probably 8-9. 7-10. The Jets, of course, are not seen as optimistically as the 2 years with Aaron Rodgers. And the Patriots actually have the second best win total or second best outlook maybe within the AFC East. We're talking about a team with a win total of 7.5. The Bills have the fifth easiest schedule. They should win the AFC East for a sixth consecutive season. But Joe, just if they win the division, And heck, even if they're the one seed in the AFC, Buffalo has won the AFC East 5 consecutive years. They have been ousted by the Chiefs in 4 of those 5 years. They have been ousted in the divisional round in 3 of those 5 years. They have been unable to change the narrative that has followed this team in their postseason woes, and that is namely Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs still standing in their way.
Yeah, when they have had home field advantage, they don't play their style of football. And again, that includes the loss, devastating loss to the Cincinnati Bengals 3 years ago, yeah, when Joe Burrow kicked them in the chops. So when they have home field, they lose their identity for some reason. We'll see if they can get there this year, Ben.
We shall see. Leesy Guy takes you home on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. They need the studio for some interviews. Joe Leesy takes you home on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Leesy and Ben Stevens.
All right, back on Football Full Circle. Ben and I will be back tomorrow breaking down college and NFL. We did leave off talking about James Cook and his ability, 1,000-yard rusher last year, his ability in respect to the short to intermediate passing game. What does that mean for the Buffalo Bills? Big picture for Buffalo to make the playoffs, and you heard Ben mention 5th easiest schedule, which is sort of intriguing when you think about how they have dominated the AFC East over the past 5 seasons. Their biggest competition last year came by the way of the New England Patriots. They lost one game at the end of the regular season and then beat New England in Orchard Park 24-21. Their total is 9.5 on FanDuel, and it's minus 550 to the over. And again, are you going to make that bet potentially for Buffalo to be a 10 or an 11-win football team? I wouldn't do that. I think I would take a shot if you believe that Buffalo can take a step back for them to miss the playoffs. And I think when you look at that number, they are probably right there at plus 490. When we talk about best prices for the teams to potentially miss the playoffs, and you just take the 4 best teams in the NFL, Philadelphia is only plus 290 to miss the playoffs. We know about the NFC East not having back-to-back champions since 2004. I still think the Eagles have the best shot to break that string, but plus 290 to miss the playoffs is really not a great number on the defending Super Bowl champs. You look at Kansas City, a team that has won or played in the AFC Championship in 7 straight meetings, plus 290 as well. So Ravens right there at plus 330 to miss the playoffs. Not great numbers when you think about it, just in terms of the best teams in the NFL, but plus 490, almost 5-1 for the Buffalo Bills. So you want to take a shot under the 9.5? That's okay. But I would take a shot if you believe Buffalo will take a step back at plus 490. Now, when we look at the conference and we look at the division AFC East, the one team I am high on, and we've talked about it throughout the offseason in terms of the addition of the Justin Fields and the New York Jets 16-1 to potentially win the AFC East. Do I believe that's a good number? I do, actually. Do I expect the New York Jets with a 5.5 win total to win the AFC and knock off Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills? No, but to make the playoffs, I think that's a potential good bet. An alt market to potentially get over 8.5 or even 9 wins, I think is doable for this team. I know they have a first-year head coach in terms of Aaron Glenn. He comes back to the organization that he played for, being a former player at Texas A&M and a standout for the Jets throughout the 90s and early 2000s. I think this team has the recipe, at least from an offensive perspective, to compete. Now, when you look at the teams that they're going up against in the AFC East, New England with a new first-year head coach, even though Vrabel's been there, it's still a new offensive scheme, new offensive identity. Don't like the wide receivers that they have on the roster. With Stephon Diggs in that lineup, it doesn't matter. I don't think they even sniff 7.5 wins this year. On the flip side, when you look at Miami, they're a team going in the opposite direction. They have the offense, don't have the defense, and Mike McDaniel, to me, is dead man walking. They do on FanDuel have specific order of the each division. I like that bet to have Buffalo number one, the Jets number two, actually New England three, and I think the doormats of the AFC East happen to be the Miami Dolphins. I've said it time and time again. They're not going anywhere with their head coach, Mike McDaniel. I don't believe in Tua. That's if he can make it through a 17-game schedule. If they get rid of Jalen Ramsey, they still have major question marks to answer on the defensive side of the ball, and they could score points with anybody. But at the end of the day, if they're going to make the playoffs and even challenge, that defense needs to take the next step. So for me, I like the Jets over the 5.5 win total. I'll give you the alt odds on FanDuel. You want to take a shot over 7.5, plus 210 right now on FanDuel. Over 5.5 is minus 140. Do I believe Justin Fields is going to be that guy? I do. From a leadership perspective, from the RPO game, from playing with his former teammate Garrett Wilson in terms of Ohio State, I believe Justin Fields can add an element that Aaron Rodgers could not bring this team last year. It was Aaron Rodgers and everybody else. Justin Fields is a winner. Justin Fields is a locker room guy. Team bought in Pittsburgh last year. He was 4-2 as a starter. They're going to regret allowing Justin Fields to play for the New York Jets. They square off week number one. We'll see you tomorrow on Football Full Circle. Have a great day, everyone.